Chris, you need to... Yeah. Do you talk the same?
Yeah. Next time we listen.
So we'll see if we can suffocate him by the end of the weekend, shall we? You know, that's fantastic. So have you always been in ministry?
No.
Have you got a job? Well, do you have a job?
No, I was born when I was very young.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, when I left school, I went into industry for 5 years.
Okay.
And then we were on holiday together, a place called Herne Bay Court.
Anybody know Herne Bay?
Been
yeah,
there, done that, got the T-shirt. And David Paulson was speaking, he was the guest speaker, and through his ministry, I was called to full-time Christian work. That was in 1964.
Okay. I was going to ask you, how old were you when you became a Christian? That nearly gives it away, but actually it doesn't. So how old were you when you became a Christian?
17.
17. Chris, how did it work for you?
Yeah, I became a Christian as a child, really, through Bible Club.
Yeah.
And then when I became a young teenager, then I sort of rededicated my life to the Lord. And when I met Bernard, by the time I met Bernard, there was a group of young people in our church who used to go out speaking at churches. I gave my testimony or did Bible readings and things, and also we went on the market, Ashton Market, mm-hmm. to give our testimony.
What kind of open air stuff?
Yes,
yeah.
And that's
yeah.
where
yeah.
I met Bernard.
I thought you picked him up on a cheap stall.
My mum and dad met on the same market.
Really?
Yeah. My dad was drunk at the time.
Something coming.
That's true. That's true. It's true. It's true.
So you've been in ministry.
I have
a long time. You pastored the church where John Mason is now one of the pastors, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. you actually fit in the path of getting John there a long way back.
Yeah.
You were instrumental in getting his dad there or something.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started. My ministry at Stoke-on-Trent, at the Park Church. I was the first pastor that they'd ever had.
Right.
And because it was a congregational church,
yeah.
and a railway mission that had come together because somebody had burnt down the railway mission hut.
Right.
So the congregationalists round the corner, were only a small group, invited them to share the building.
Right.
And so they started to meet together. And eventually decided they wouldn't rebuild the mission hall. They would put that money into getting a manse and calling a minister.
Yeah.
So, and I was the one they called.
Right.
And that was in 1967.
Yeah.
So that's when we started.
Yeah. And John's dad followed you?
Howard Mason
yeah.
followed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I left in 1972.
Right.
And
you... And you went down, did you then go down to Oxfordshire?
No. Then I went to Bridge North Baptist Church. I was headhunted to Bridge North Baptist Church.
He likes to get that one in.
I was. I've never done the CV. I've never applied for anything.
Yeah.
It's just never happened that way for
yeah.
me. I've just yeah. always gone where somebody's called me. And so, yeah, I went there in 1972, but I'll share a bit more about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, you've worked with him, part of ministry.
Yeah.
What's your heart? Where are your giftings? Where's the Lord used you particularly?
I think I'm very good at helping people.
Yeah.
And I certainly need a lot of help. So I'm a good help, and I love hospitality and having
yeah.
people around to our home. So and we love praying for people together, don't we?
Yeah.
And feel that God has given us a ministry that works with prayer with people,
super.
God gets us work.
Yeah.
So.
I was really pleased that Chris said, "Can I come as well?" I think it's Wednesday. Can Chris come? Because I need somebody to help me get there.
I don't really rasking you. It's just it's a given,
it's,
actually.
Yeah,
we never go anywhere without one
no,
another.
And it's lovely. But I think actually it brings something else to us. And they are here and they do have a prayer ministry. So if at any point over the weekend you just want to go and have a chat and you want somebody to pray with, they're here. And that's a really important part.
Yeah.
We'll have opportunities for praying after the message, after each session and those kind of things. But we're here, so that's just open for you. And particularly ladies, sometimes you can be more comfortable speaking to another female. Do that. That's great. We talk about the spiritual stuff, we talk about church, but what do you like to do outside of church? Chris, what?
Yeah, I love to read.
Yeah.
And do the, you know, things like the knitting, sewing sort of things.
Okay. And who's your favourite author? Do you have a favourite author?
C.S. Lewis is a favourite.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all the Anne of Green Gables sort of stuff.
Okay.
I thought that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I heard of that.
Yeah.
I know what it's about. I heard of it when I was at school.
Yeah. And then we love to go walking, don't we? We really enjoy walking, love being with our family. So.
Fantastic. What family have you got?
I've got 3 children and 9 grandchildren. So.
9 grandchildren?
9.
Oh, my God. I was talking about your wife.
She wasn't either.
Excellent. And Bernard, you've got you like money, don't you?
I do. I collect coins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the non-spending variety. ancient Greek and Roman and English stuff from.
Is that this kind of thing?
No. It's
Museum stuff. This is a great place round here for Roman coins.
There you go. Well,
You've heard of the what are they? Ah, it's gone from my mind now. The Wicker Market Hoard, the Rendlesham Hoard.
Oh,
right.
You must have heard of the Rendlesham Hoard.
No.
Oh man, it's one of the most famous. You've heard of what's the place? Sutton Hoo.
Oh yeah.
Sutton Hoo is about 15 minutes
from
here. So we're rich in heritage. Go down on the beach.
I haven't bought any of them. I've got some from Colchester Hall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're more famous than Colchester. Further than that is.
Conversation.
Yeah, great. Excellent. Okay, thank you.
It's all right. Thank you.
Tell us what you're going to do tonight, and I'm going to give that to you. Let me pray for you first of all right? And then we'll just get to ministry. Father, I just want to pray for Bernard now. Thank you for him. Thank you for Chris. Bless him and bless him to us for your glory, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's great to be with you, and hope we get to know you a little bit while we're here for the weekend. We did talk about a subject, actually, and thought we'd pick up the theme of love, because it's central, isn't it, to the Christian life. And but I thought what I'd try to do in this opening session was just to introduce you to why I want to talk about it and what I mean by it, really, because as we already said, it was a potty history, really, but I became a Christian in 1961 when I was 17, and met Chris about 9 months later, as she told you, on Ashton Market. And so we started to go out together when Chris was 15 and I was 17. And so here we are, still, which is great. But I was called, as I told you a minute ago, to Bible College in 1964. I did 3 years in Birmingham. And then I was called to this church in Stoke-on-Trent, this Park Church. And obviously, you know Howard, do you?
Yeah, he did a weekend here.
Did. I bet he didn't tell you the story. Just after I left, there were a couple in the church who were called the Badleys. And they were very fat. I mean, huge. You know, they were like almost round. Do you know what I mean? And they were going to get baptized. And in the church at Park, they didn't have a baptistry, so we borrowed, we used to borrow the church at Henley Baptist. And Henley Baptist. Now, what happened was, apparently, everybody was there, and if you met Howard, he's a little bit more sort of, well, he was, I don't know what he's like, I haven't met him for ages, but he was quite sort of stiff and starchy to begin with, you know, very proper, did everything very proper. And he had this gown on, this baptismal gown, or the long thing with the waders on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And and so it came time for the baptism, and they were singing the hymn, and he decided while they were singing the hymn, he would go down into the baptistry ready to receive the first person to be baptized. But as he put his foot on the first step, he went zhoosh, right under the water and sent a tidal wave onto the people on the front row. But then he came up still singing the hymn. The water. And everybody else had got hankies in their mouth. trying not to laugh. Actually, quite a lot of my sort of experiences revolve around baptisms and stories about baptism. A friend of mine was telling me that this one baptismal service where they were meeting in a school hall, and what they did, they in the school hall, they'd used the stage, they divided the stage into two, and they'd got a curtain across the front as well, and these were being used for changing rooms for the men and the women. And the baptistry was one of these portable baptistries at the front of front of the stage. And the pastor was down in the water and waiting for the Baptist candidate. You see, this lady, who again was rather a large lady. And it's always like, why is it always somebody who's large? Anyway, you know, accept my apologies if you are large. And so he got hold of this lady's hand, who was happened to be frightened of water. In fact, she was petrified. She wanted to be baptized. You know, anybody else like that? Wanted to be baptized, but was frightened going into that water, petrified of the water. Anybody else like that? Yeah. Anyway, she was like that. And so he takes hold of her hand and tries to encourage her. Let's use the word. Encourage her to come into the water. And she loses her footing. And as she loses her footing, she grabs the curtain. And she comes down, bringing the curtain and herself on top of the pastor in the pool. Now, does this to reveal one guy who stood there starker, getting himself ready to go in the water. One of the deacons, any deacons here?
I don't know, they're right up to it now.
One of the deacons, thinking, I've got to do something, decided what he would do, switch the lights off. Which plunged everybody into pitch darkness, and the poor pastor shouted, get her off me! It went on for a moment or two, at which point the deacon realised he'd probably done the wrong thing. Flicked the lights back on to reveal this poor guy who's on the seas crawling around in the dark looking for his underpants. But anyway, but apparently it all went well. It all went well in the end. But like I was telling you, let's get down to it. I'll tell you some more stories later on. But anyway, another time. But I think I've had my Corbin. I don't know. Anyway, let me get on, because what happened was this. I went to Bridgnorth Baptist Church, West Street Baptist Church, in 1972. And I'd been there for a couple of years. It was only quite a small church. It had seen better times, really. But they were desperate, so they called me. And I went, and probably round about 30 or 40 people, that was all, in the fellowship. And for a couple of years, we laboured there, ministered, I did some Bible teaching, we had special guest speakers and all the things that you normally do. And I was invited, we were part of the West Midland Baptist Association, and I was invited to go to a conference, a minister's conference at Willesley Castle in Derbyshire. That's where they used to go and do their retreat. And the area superintendent was doing the talk, the first talk. And I don't think I've ever been so bored in all my life. It was terrible, honestly. What a terrible thing to say, but it really was. You know, and I went back to my room, I thought, we've come here to be refreshed, and I thought, this is so dry. And I just sat on my bed after lunch and prayed. And I said, Lord, you know, there has got to be more than this. I really came here to be refreshed. And I started to read my Bible. And the passage that I started to read from was here, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. I want to share with you just a little bit of our experience that came out of this. It's Paul who's speaking about himself as an ambassador for Christ. And he says this in verse, I won't read it all, but it would take me too long if I do that. But he says, verse 13, I'm reading from the New Living Bible. If it seems that we're crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Whatever we do, it's because Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life that we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ, who died and was raised for them. And it was the phrase, I think it was in the NIV at the time, the love of Christ constrains us. And I just at that moment felt such a conviction from God. I thought, Lord, I'm not sure, even with a congregation full of people, you know, I'm not sure that I really love these people the way you want me to love them. And I'm not sure that your love constrains me, but your love controls me. And so as I pray, I said, Lord, how can your love control me? And instantly, the Lord brought to mind, I was actually doing a series in Romans at the time, and the Lord brought to mind that verse in Romans chapter 5, where it says this, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, I think it says in the NIV. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I realized that at that moment, the reason I was being honest before God, I thought, I don't love as I ought to love. And I felt God say, here's the answer. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you can work up. It's not something that you can manufacture, but it's the touch of God. And something happened to me in those moments there. And I knew God had touched me in a new way. And I went back from that conference, and it was a Thursday Bible study night, and we met, and there were usually probably not very many of us, you know, from a church of about 40, maybe 14 would turn out for the Bible study prayer meeting. And so we did the meeting, and after, what we would do, we tended to be, that I would do, we'd do some, two or three songs or something, and then I would speak for a while, and do some Bible teaching, and then we'd have a short time of prayer, and then we'd have the benediction, and people would go home. And so we followed our usual pattern, and I said, okay, now we're going to just say the grace together, and then we're going to go home. And one of the people in that group said, we're not going anywhere tonight until you tell us what's happened to you. And I thought, wow, you know. So I began to share with them what God had said to me. And that night, they said, pray for us. And of the 14 people that were there, 7 people that were prayed for were filled with the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. I mean, I'm talking now about charismatic renewal. I'm talking about what happened in the 70s. Suddenly, God blew like a wind through our church, and lives were transformed by the power of God, and mine was transformed by the power of God. My ministry was transformed by the power of God. And I want to share that with you because for me, that's one of those defining moments in my life and in my ministry. And everything that I share with you this weekend will flow out of the experience that I've had in God. And it started there with charismatic renewal in the church. The church grew to 250 in about 3 years as people came, joined the church, because the power of God was evident. Meetings started to go on. We used to meet at 6 o'clock for an elders' prayer meeting, and there used to be a church prayer meeting at half past six on a Sunday night, and then at 7 o'clock the service started. And it had always been 7 till 8. If you went at 8:05, there was an old guy at the back who used to rattle the change in his pocket to try to put me off. Never worked, but then he tried. But suddenly, God was moving. I wasn't even getting up to preach until 8:30 from a 7 o'clock. We started communion sometimes at 10 o'clock. In fact, on one occasion, a policeman came in while we were celebrating communion. He said, I thought somebody had broken into the church because the lights were on. You know, what was a church doing open at 10 o'clock at night? But God had moved in and lives were being changed. I remember one of our deacons, one of our deacons who was really open, wanted to experience more of God. And on Sunday night, during the communion service, God just blew him over. He went over the back of the pew. He wondered where he'd gone. He said, well, back over the pew was God. Touched his life. We began to see miracles and the power of God working in people's lives. One of the most powerful things for me was the second week into this, when God started to move. And one of our deacons at that point, he started to prophesy. Can you believe that? We'd never experienced it before in the church. A real word of prophecy, a word from God. And I thought, wow. And what happened? One of the women just started to weep. Weep as God dealt with her through that word of prophecy. And the words came into my mouth. Pray for that sister. But they wouldn't come out. Can you believe that? I just couldn't speak it out. And then suddenly what happened, about 5 minutes after us, we began to pray, is another lady just broke down as God convicted her of sin and stuff in her life. And then the words came, pray for that sister. And the sister, who'd been on her knees before weeping, got up and went across and prayed for this other sister. And the power of God moved in that place. We saw a move of God that lasted for 5 years. In the last 3 years of my ministry in my present church, where we're still members, well, I retired 4 years ago, but in the last 3 years, in 2008, we experienced the power of God again. God came in. Sunday nights, we were there from 7 o'clock till 10 o'clock every Sunday night. and we couldn't leave because the presence of God, what the Puritans called the felt presence of God, was there. We saw more miracles in 3 months than we'd seen in 20 years. People getting healed. One lady came because she knew there was people praying, and she came for prayer. She got gout, and when she put her foot through the door to come into the meeting, she got healed. Another lady came with a neck brace on. God touched her and healed her neck. And we're just seeing people coming in and just coming under the power of God. Some stories I could tell you that you'd think that's scary. But it was a bit scary. But when you're willing to move out with God, God is still the God of wonders. He's still the God of miracles. He's still the God who changes people's lives. He's still the God who breaks into people's experiences. And for me, it started with that verse. The love of Christ controls us. And I want to ask you that as we start off tonight, this weekend. Do you honestly believe the love of Christ controls you? That it's the controlling factor in your life? That it's the motivating factor in what you do as a fellowship? You know, I believe the thing that distinguishes a church from a club is the power and presence of God. You know? And if we're not experiencing that, we need to get to that place. For the thing that I learned, I'm telling you about miracles, I'm telling you about gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. The most important thing that happened was the presence of God. You sense the presence of God come down in that room. And there's nothing beats the presence of God. But I do believe for all of us, to make a difference, we need that anointing in the love of Christ. And I want to explore some of that with you this weekend. Shall we pray together? Father, we want to bless you and thank you because you are faithful and you're mighty. Lord, you're mighty to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds. And Lord, I want to pray for strongholds of Satan that are in the fellowship, strongholds that are in people's lives, strongholds that are hindering what you want to do. I pray, God, that you would move in power over this weekend. That, Lord, you'd smash idols, that you'd break down everything that's contrary to your plan and your will and your purpose. Pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to you and we'd be willing just to receive what you've got for us. Bring us to that place of emptiness and openness, we pray, for Jesus' sake.